Going to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 22 through 24. And if you're visiting, you and God are going to work some stuff out there. You're thinking, really, I came here to listen to wives, submissive wives, right? Look, it's the next verse, it's the next verse, and it's the next verse. It's how we do. I didn't plan this. Now, listen, this is volatile stuff in light of the present distress we're living in America. And I'm going to thank you in advance for giving me a fair hearing. Have I had women storm out of my Bible studies before? Yes, I have. And I'm a gentleman. When I see that happening, it's nothing that I really, it's not like I was harsh or anything else. It's just the Word of God had its effect and people didn't like it. I would ask you not to do that. Just be here, listen, and then if you never come back, oh well. We've had that happen before as well. Okay, but what we have to decide as a church in America, is do you want to have a church where the pastor is a messenger or a messenger of God, or the pastor is the editor of God? This doesn't really mean what it says, God didn't know, we're cool now, and we understand things that God didn't understand back in the day. You want that? Because I don't want to, I've made up my mind, I'm not going to be that person. So, like I say, give me a fair hearing. Give the Word of God a fair hearing. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we'd coolly and calmly listen to what you have to say, and then we would act appropriately and accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read. And I'm going to go back to, all the way back to verse 18, the second half, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's start there. The word means respect, to revere. There's going to be basically three groups of people who receive this. Group one won't like it. Group two really won't like it. And then group three, that's men. They'll like it. You're saying, why is that? Every time we talk about women submitting, everyone gets like super nervous and stuff. But it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. When it talks about me obeying the law, what's the law? This, don't speed, don't do this, don't knock over a bank, don't steal, don't break enter, don't. Easy. I got rules. I know how to follow them, and I'm good. At work, my boss says, do this, do this, do this. If you want to keep your job, I do this, do this, do this. I got rules. Everyone, everywhere submits to everybody else in this, submitting yourselves, verse 21, one to another in the fear of God. Now, your part in this, wives, and I'm only talking to wives. You got to listen up close. I'm only talking to wives. Men, feel free to daydream. Feel free to put your elbows away. Don't be nudging your wife or anything. I'll carry the water. That won't be helpful, okay? You paying attention? I think you're nodding there a little. No. Next week, your wife will be here. She'll leave her elbows at home. You do the same thing. Now, we're not talking about women. Women submit to men, right? No. Are you dating someone and he's calling for you to submit? No, 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 no. When you stand in front of a church, in front of God and everybody, and you say, till death do us part, I do, and the pastor, preacher, reverend, whatever, says, you may kiss your bride, at that point, that's when submissive kicks in. Now, you probably are thinking, as somebody who's heading in that direction, if you can't do this, then you want to stay married, you want to stay single forever, and you don't want to get married. It's calling on wives to submit themselves to husbands. And submit means, I'm going to tell you something right now, women always want to do this Greek word study. Listen, submit means submit. Now, a lady told me, she says, that's not there in the Greek. That's not there in the women doing Greek studies, this is what we always need. Experts, you know. So I'm thinking like, wives yourselves to your husbands? What is that? So I looked up. She was right. She was right. You say, no, really? No, really. It's everyone submitting to everyone else. Wives, your partner is submitting is to your husband. And don't tell me it doesn't say that in the sense that it says it all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. It calls for men to be the leaders, especially in the household, not everywhere. I would happily vote for a woman president, not this election cycle. But I don't have a problem with that. If a woman was my boss at work and I was accountable and answerable to a woman, no problems. We're not talking about women and men. We're both image bearers. We both bear the image of God, and we're absolutely positively equal. In the house, women, you're not inferior in any way. You just have a role, and your husband has a role. And that's all it is. And your part in this is to submit yourselves unto the Lord, unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Now, I know there's women here saying, yeah, ha, ha, very funny. That's not going to happen. Whatever. I'll sit here and I'll listen. And then I'm going to go home and I'm not going to do any of this. Well, that's between you and the Lord. But it is between you and the Lord. Show me a woman who loves Jesus, who wants to submit to Jesus, who does what Jesus says, and that is expressed by submitting yourself to your husband. Now, I'm going to put all the caveats, all the disclaimers in order, okay? I might as well do it right now. When we're talking about submitting to the Lord, one thing we understand about the Lord, he never asks us to sin, ever. So our obedience to Jesus Christ is absolutely, positively unconditional. Should be. Is it? No. I can't tell you over the years how many people told me why the Word of God in this situation doesn't apply to them. We were talking about gossip a few weeks ago. Well, I was sharing prayer requests. Oh, so you just redefine the Word of God so it moves around you and it doesn't call you to repent at all. Listen, this will probably find you in a place where you need to repent, wives, a little bit maybe even. So, I live there. It's a wonderful thing. I'm not apologizing, calling on anyone to repent ever. So, I believe what Jesus says, and it looks like me doing what my husband asked me to do. You're saying, that's obedience. That's what I'm saying. You know, we say that, love, honor, obey. However you put it out. Now, this presupposes conflict, and I'm going to show you something. It presupposes conflict, okay? If you're at wit's end, your husband comes home and, you know, your son was toasting crayons in the toaster and it's ruined, and I was picking up after him all day, and I didn't even get supper yet. And he says, oh, honey, sit down. Put your feet up. I'll take care of dinner. You want Chinese? You want Burger King? Because, you know, he's really handy that way. And she goes, I want pizza. So he runs out, he gets pizza. He takes Junior with him. You just sit here. You just relax. Put your feet up. He turns on her favorite channel on Pandora. Then they have supper, which he cleans up after. And he takes Junior and gives him a bath and reads him a bedtime story, kisses him on the head and puts him. Then he comes back and deals with his wife. You feeling better now? He brings a hot cup of tea. And he sits and he reads poetry to her till 11 o'clock at night. That is not submission. I mean, it's wonderful. I hope, guys, I hope we'll talk to you next week. Hope every once in a while you get that, You got that play in your, I hope you make that play every once in a while when your wife's just at wit's end. I hope that's true. That's got nothing to do with submission, okay? It presupposes, all wives are submissive when they're going, when their husband's going in the direction they want to go anyway. It's when there's a conflict. Now, what's the root of the conflict? I'm glad you asked. Put a bulletin in there or something like that. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis. Say, Genesis? Yeah, Genesis. This goes back to the fall. Chapter 3, the fall of man. We'll be here next week, too, because we got to learn something about the men. But we're talking to the women right now. Verse 16, none of the women, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Anyone want to argue with that? Anyone ever have a baby and say, no, piece of cake. Listen, 5 minutes. Doc said push. I pushed, kid come out. No problem, right? No woman has ever said that to me. I've had two sons, okay? And I was the first time I was in Japan when my oldest son was born. The second time I was right there. She had the worst of it between the two of us. I was giving her ice and we doing the breathing thing and she had her hands full. Me, I was just kind of like, you know. But I'm here to witness that, and if you've been in the delivery room with your spouse, it's painful in a way that I'll never even be able to describe. Nobody's arguing that point. Now we get to the second point. Now people want to argue. You're going to bring forth children in sorrow. It's going to be a painful process, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Your desire is going to be to your husband, and all the guys are saying, this isn't a Bible? This is my favorite Bible verse. I love this book. Relax, it doesn't mean what you think it means. Your desire is going to be to rule over your husband, but he's going to rule over you. That's what it's saying. Later on, remember his interview with Cain after Cain killed Abel? He says, sin is crouching at the door, and it wants to have the mastery. Its desire is towards you, but you've got to control it. It's the same language. Sin wants to control you. You've got to control sin. And it's the same word we have here. It's about control. It's about an impelling or a compelling. You, honey, God's saying to Eve, you're going to try to rule over your husband. It's not going to go well. I've made it that he's supposed to rule over you. The word rule over means rule over. You can look it up in Hebrew. You can look it up in... That's what it means. That's what the order that God has established. Now, common, what I get back. Well, you don't know my husband. The guy who wrote this book does. Do you see any caveats as far as wives submit your husband under your husbands, unless you're married to? Do you see that? Because I don't see that. My husband's not a Christian. Let me look at that one. Why is me so? Nope, I don't see that. Wait a second. You're telling me my husband, who's not even a Christian, God can work through him to get me where I have to be? Not can, will. Absolutely, positively. Well, my husband's not, he's a very carnal Christian. He's not a Christian at all. He's a very worldly man. Stop. There's no... Now, I'm going to tell you when to not submit. When your husband is asking you to sin, and you better have book, chapter, and verse. I mean sin. I'm not talking about, well, I don't see it exactly that way. Again, where's your verse? Here or anywhere in the Bible? Can I take you to a couple places in the Bible? Because I know some women here, their minds are racing. There's got to be some place. There's got to be an out. There's got to be a... He's asking you to sin. Don't submit. Jesus rules over all of us. Okay? Other than that, I'm thinking about in the New Testament, we get Mary, right? Gabriel comes to her and says, hey, you on board with God's plan? God has to get her. I mean, unless he's... Seems like God has to enlist her approval. It's her body. She's not married to anybody. Oh, she's engaged, betrothal, Okay, the consummation hasn't happened yet. She's a virgin. But there's been vows, there's livestock has been exchanged, there's a contract has been, it's more than our engagement, it's less than our marriage, okay? It's a special place that they had. She has to have a divorce if they're not going to consummate the marriage. But she's still at that place where she hasn't given herself to Joseph yet. An angel comes and says, hey, you on board? And she says, yeah, be it unto the hand, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me as you say. And then God stops dealing with Mary, saying, really? Yeah. After they have the baby, he uses the Roman emperor to get her down in Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy. God can work through ungodly people, right? And then someone wants to kill the baby. This Herod, he's a madman. He wants to kill the baby. So what does God do? He speaks to Joseph. So why doesn't he speak to Mary? He is. He's speaking to a godly woman through the what he has established as the order of the way it's supposed to be. Is Joseph like a really super spiritual guy? Yeah, probably. Does he love Mary? Probably. But we don't really know any of that. We just know God's working in the way that he established that he was going to work. And what do we not read about Mary? What do we not read? Egypt? Are you sure? Like, did you check with headquarters? Because, like, Joe, like, listen, I don't want to, like, bring this up, but, like, it's the wrong union. You're like this carpenter, but they build with stone down there. You're not a mason. Where are you going to get work? What are we going to do? How are we going to... We don't see any of that in Scripture. We see a godly woman. Hey, Egypt, let's go. Why? Well, I had a dream. You sure? I'm sure. Okay, let's go. That's how I see it. Now, if Joseph was married to you, would we have a savior? I'm just wondering. We think we know better than our husband. You probably do. Someone's going to come to me later and say, well, I'm smarter than he is. Half the women in here probably are. You're going to say, I'm more spiritual than he is. That's probably a given. In my situation, it is. And God's directing me, and through me, directing her. I think it works that way. I think it works that way when I was always on board with what God was trying to do in my life. I'm telling you something about Susan. She lives this verse. To very large degrees. I talked early in the week. I said, tell me a time when I told you had to submit that. And then she filed it away. She said, yeah, I'll get back to you. I said, I'll give you a few days, you know. I'll get back to you. And I asked her this morning. She goes, I didn't think about it at all. I said, well, think about it now. And she said, oh, when you bought me the dishwasher. We have to have a dishwasher in my house. I feel like if we don't, we're like a third world country, and I don't want to. I'm serious. It's more a point of pride. She says, well, I don't really care. I don't need one. I can wash dishes by hand because the last one died like they do. No, I want to get you a dishwasher. Well, I don't really need one. I don't really want. I'm getting you a dishwasher. That's all there is to it. Do what I tell you. And so I went out and got a dishwasher, and she used it, and everyone lived happily ever after. Now you're thinking, like, well, my husband wanted a. He wants to bless you. Trust me on this. He wants to make sure you're on board with what he's trying to do. Listen, ladies, he's not a gal pal. He's not one of your little friends. He's your husband. Let me tell you something, and you may or may not know this. More than anything else, what your husband needs is respect. Some women are thinking, like, what are you talking about? Respect. Yeah. That's what he needs. More than anything else, you gainsaying every decision is disrespectful to the max. He's a capable human being. He has a job. He knows some stuff. And then for the woman who every time a guy, he doesn't know how to drive. Unless she's like, you're going to slow down. You can't pass. And just, oh my goodness, when you're not in the car, you think I get to where I'm going? You're going to sit and I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that for my benefit. My wife isn't that person. My head would explode. She has respect for me. You're saying, you know what the problem is? I just want to control everything. I know, we already said that. And water's wet. We get that. God's going to say, hands off, let me work through him. I'll get you both where you have to be. Listen, this is so critical. This is so critical. Listen to me. He's never going to be the man God wants him to be outside of you. God's saying, good for the man to be alone. I'm going to give him a helper suitable for his needs. That was in paradise. Think about that. What was his needs? To know God, to follow God, to serve God, to love God. Will he ever be where he's supposed to? Is he ever going to be to get to where he's supposed to go without you? No. Could I do this without her? No. That's ridiculous. Now, some of you are saying, like, yeah, I don't know. I was watching Oprah the other day, and stop right there. I'm glad she's not on the air anymore. This kind of made my head explode all the time. She was like, wanted to just like pontificate on marriage. How many days in her life has she been married? Zero. And she wants to tell us, and she wants to bring this other guy on and say, oh, this is what you need to know about marriage. And I'm just thinking, like, what do you know about it? The world, look, I'm going to give you some stats, right? The divorce rate's about 50%. You know that, right? You wouldn't play Russian roulette with half the chambers full. You wouldn't play it at all, would you? But I mean, if like, that's a really bad odds. I'm going into this and half the time it won't work. First marriage, with divorce within the first 8 years, 41%. That's high. I know. Second marriage. Well, I got the wrong one. It's going to recycle this one, throw it back in the dating pool, go get another one. 60%. And by the way, if you're considering that, no. God put you together. Trust me on that. He absolutely, positively did. Well, it's going very difficult. What we're doing today is going to make it less difficult. I couldn't mean that any more than I mean it. So the third marriage is 73% divorce rate. Does that surprise us? 876,000 divorces per year in America. Cohabitation before marriage increases your chance of divorce. Another 40%. I get this all the time. This one is just crazy. Well, we're going to give it a chance. We're going to live together first. What? You ain't giving anything a chance. You're making it a lot harder. Now, it shouldn't surprise us that God's ways are the best ways. People who don't cohabitate, who go to church together, who pray every day together, the divorce rate's 1%, okay? I'm telling you, it's 1%. God knows what he's doing, okay? The world doesn't know what they're doing. They don't even know who's supposed to marry who as far as genders are concerned. And you're looking to the world for leadership? Are you kidding me? They're nobody to tell us. They see a thing like this and say, oh, that's so Victorian, that's so antiquated, that's so quaint. Are you kidding? That will never work. And we're saying, well, remain calm. A Harvard researcher, Shanti Feldhahn, The Good News About Marriage. You can get this on Amazon, if you're writing that down. You can get the recording, which Mike will give you for free afterwards, if you want. The Good News About Marriage, Shanti Feldhahn. She's a Harvard researcher. You say, Harvard, she ain't Christian, is she? I don't know. But she came up with this, 15% of divorce rate in the church. 50% at large, 15% in the church. And the church is kind of a quasi-weird, nebulous word, church, right? Divorce rate among those who identify themselves as evangelicals, 10%. Now, I think it should be closer to zero, okay? But I'll take 10 as opposed to 50. I think our divorce rate in this church, I think it's zero. I think it's since we've been pastor here. I don't think anyone's been divorced here in a church. There are people who have been divorced who come to church here. You're welcome. There's people here on their first, second, third marriages. You're welcome. I know people who have left and then got divorced. I'm sorry it's been that way. But I think we know a little bit something about it. This is God's design for marriage. It answers your husband's deepest need to be revered, to be respected. It's It's good for you to learn how to be submissive. It's good for him to be respected. That's just growth. Your behavior modification program, that's horrific. That's a really bad idea. You try and nagging, we're in Proverbs. I love Proverbs. You know, a nagging wife, it's like a dripping faucet. It's better to live in a corner of the housetop, than with a contentious woman in a wide house. It's better to live out in the wilderness. You say, I got my camping gear ready. I'm going to be, I just get that constant, just like Charlie Brown's teacher, and just like, I can't even discern. Is she talking to me or, that's not my life. Thank you, Jesus. I'm serious about that. Ladies, if that's you, you have to repent in the worst way. If you get your way all the time, you're going to take that godly man or that man that God gave you, you could turn him into a mouse. Nobody's going to be better off when that happens. I remember we're back in, she won't remember this, but we back in Amway way back in the day. Don't worry, I'm not trying to sell you soap suds or anything. It was like early 20s, not 1920s. I mean, we were in our 20s, all right? And ain't that old. We were in our 20s, and I was trying to get people. And so we're trying to sell the soap flakes, and I'm trying to get people on board and enlist them. You get this, like, it's kind of like a little pyramid scheme. The more people you get selling, you get a percentage and whatever. Amway, right? There's a lot of those multi-level marketing things out there. So I was talking to this guy, and he was kind of a little bit of a mousy guy. I'll say that because of who he's married to. I'll say that too. You don't know. I ain't telling tales of school. You don't know him, okay? Nobody you've ever met, nobody you'll ever meet. I've lost touch with them. But I remember saying, like, he's like, oh, I don't know if I could do this. I'm like, you can do this. I got faith in you. I know you can do this. And his wife said, oh, if you got faith in them, that's more than I've ever had in them. And I thought, like, oh, why don't you just castrate him and get it over with? And I try to, like, and try to keep, going on with it. But something really bad just happened there. And I knew it, and everyone knew it. And the air just kind of went out of the room. And I think, like, why would you say that about your husband? You're troubling your own house. You're inheriting the wind, like we learned about last Sunday night in our study in Proverbs. Why would you do that? Why don't you want to live with a manly man who's able to make decisions, and you come alongside and say, yep, honey, I know you're a good man. If that's what you've heard from God and that's what you think is the answer, then that's what we'll do. That's always going to work out better for you. Sister, listen to me. It's always going to work out better. If your husband, you think like, he doesn't know what he's doing, he's messing up, pray. Her and God ganging up on me probably have helped me more. Her nagging me would never help. I'm glad she's not a nag, because you would get the opposite. I would show you my just ugly side. Now, but here's where we're at now, and I know a lot of you guys are here. I love Jesus. I don't have an agenda. I want to stand before him. I want him to say, good and faithful servant, you done excellent. And when it comes to my wife, I want him to say, you did really good by me. I entrust you that woman, and I can say to her, listen, follow me. Don't fight with me. She doesn't. But I can say this to her, follow me. I'm a good leader because I'm a good follower. I love Jesus. I want to do what Jesus says. No harm is going to happen to you. He'll make sure of that. You say, well, what if he makes mistakes? I guarantee he's going to make mistakes. Of course he's going to make mistakes. Please don't say, I told you so. Please don't do that. Why? Because it's disrespectful and he needs respect. Did you not get the memo? It's totally, I told you so is never going to be a benefit. You say, what if he ruins us financially? So? I mean... That's a lot less worse than having a wife who's totally contentious all the time. So, you won't dry up and blow away. You'll be here tomorrow. He'll figure it out. God's asking you to submit to less than perfect men. We have leadership in the church, and God's asking you to submit to. None of us in leadership are perfect. You say, "Wow, you know, hey, this pastor, we got, he's a moron. We got to get somebody else." Go ahead. You'll get another guy who's making mistakes and figuring stuff out too. Well, I haven't done everything perfectly, not even close, and I never even joke about that. But I've learned a few things along the way, and you second guessing me. I don't know how helpful that is. Now I always want input. But I want input in my house too. Look, it's a lot different when my wife approached me and starts in with, wah, 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 wah. Not that she would, okay? Not that she would. I gotta go live with her later on, and I'm not trying to say anything bad because I think she's the best, most wonderful wife. But if she ever did, it wouldn't work out. But if she says this, you say, "I can contribute. I can help. I'm their helper." I say, "Amen, amen." How about this? When she comes, she says, "Adam, can we talk?" "Yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Come here. Listen, I gotta say something. I know you love me. I know you're a good man." Oh, she's affirming me. And she's a wise woman. I know what's coming next is probably something I need to hear. But if it's uninvited, and it's unasked for, and it's all the time, and I think she's never on my team, how am I gonna listen to that? How am I gonna receive that? And that's what it is. It's like this big contentious thing out there all the time. So I talk to the wives, and I say, and they say, "Well, if he loved me like Christ loved the church, then I would submit to him." And he says, "Well, if she submitted to me like she submits to Christ, then I would." It's not a game. It's not a contest. It's not who goes first. If my wife never, ever, ever submitted to me and did the opposite of everything I said all the time, I'm going to try to love her like Christ loved the church. Would it be difficult? No, it would be impossible outside the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's why we started there. But I would strive to do that, because my thinking is, if I'm loving like Christ loved and she's totally not on board with what's going on, half of our marriage is perfect. I'll let her figure, because I got to tell you something, guys. This is saying wives, and it doesn't say husbands, make sure your wives submit to you. Just lead. Don't even turn around and see if she's following. Just go in the right direction. Just do the things that God wants you to do. Just love her. Let her know that you would die for her. Because next week, men, this is where we're going to go with this. If I can boil us all down, wives, live for your husband. Husbands, die for your wife. I mean, look at where we're going with this. We're going to, guys, I mean, don't not show up next week. Man up, be here. But look where we're going with this. Love like Christ loved you. She's like, "Nobody does that." That's right, but God won't water it down just because we're not doing it. The standard is still one of perfection. He still wants us to do that. How did Christ love the church? Well, he came into her world and he died there. You mean, Holy Spirit, you want me to go into her world and die there? Yes. Easy capeasy, right? No, it's very, very, very difficult. Actually, it's impossible. And he said, do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's my thinking. So the wives submit, husbands love. Both of the couples are getting both what they need the most in the marriage, and me dying to her is making me less of a selfish jerk every day, which is really, really incredibly important in this whole process, and she needs love. What do I need? I need respect. She needs to submit. Both of us, if you don't like what I'm saying here, by the way, your husband loves it. If I would take, the part of this, wives, you have a problem with this, and you say, "I have a problem submitting to this guy I'm married to," he loves this. If I ask the wives here, do you like husbands love your wife as Christ loves you? You say, "Yeah, I love that part," and guys like it less. The part that we're called on to do, we're not necessarily so big fans of that. The part that the spouses call to do, we love that part of it. Doesn't that tell us something about ourselves? It should tell us a lot. Isn't this simple? I mean, it's simplistic. It's very, very basic. You don't have to figure this out. You don't have to. What are we doing here? Wives, you aren't on board with this program? You need to repent. I'll be up here. You can get prayer. I haven't done this like I should. Well, that's a given. I mean, it's a given. You haven't been completely submissive. Don't tell me different. I mean, I never see anyone who's completely submissive. And so you want prayer or something like that? That's fine. Later on in the week, when feelings aren't quite as raw, talk to your husband, if you dare. Say, okay, where have I failed you on this? I'm willing to get on board. I'm willing to do what God wants me to do. Where have I failed you? If you got enough nerve to. And guys, go easy. Go easy. So I was asking Sue, said, when have I pulled rank on you? She said, dishwasher. I said, you know, that's not really a smoking gun. I got to step down from being pastor now. And because I just lead. I just lead in the spiritual things. I just say, okay, it's time to do this. Now we're going to do this. Now I just do. And she goes right along. It's really good. We're not having this tug of war over who's in charge of the house and everything like that. And it works out really good. And God's been blessing, and I think He will continue to do that. When she starts challenging my authority all the time, so then she said to me, she goes, "Well, you probably have a whole list of times I haven't." I thought, like, well, not really. You know, one that sticks out to me. Ken said when she goes down to Waterville, start a church. So I told her, and she was not instantly on board. Not. She got there. Took her, what, a week, two? Not very long, right? About, I can't remember exactly. But I didn't nag her or something because I figured she had to do this willingly. It wasn't really going to happen. I could have pulled, you know, rank and said, listen, if God's calling me, He's calling you, figure it out, get with the program. Just pray. I'm leading. I'm going where God wants me to go. Every time I've ever done that, she figures it out. He's a good man. He loves me. He loves the Lord. He'll get it right. I really think that's the way it's got to go. You're saying, well, I don't know. I don't know what you're saying. I hear, but look. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. What body? He's the deliverer of the body of Christ. He's the look in this little play that we're playing out. You know, by the way, haven't you figured out about marriages yet? We don't need them to procreate. I mean, cats do it, and they don't have marriages. Toms just go tomming, and they have little kittens, and the species is perpetuated, and cats don't get married. Have you noticed that? We get married. Why? Because God's trying to show something. He's trying to show the world something that He doesn't show through cats. We are uniquely created in His image. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave Himself for it that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. We'll talk about this next week. My marriage stinks. My wife stinks. Are you washing her with the water of the word? Have you tried that? Because that'll fix. The word will fix anything. That's why we go through this every week. I mean, the word will fix what's ailing you. Whatever's wrong in your life, in your marriage, in your whatever, the word will fix it. That He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So men not love their own wives, their own body. That he that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. He nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. We are members of the body of His flesh and of His bones. Look at, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. He's quoting Genesis about Adam and Eve before they had a father and mother. Isn't that incredible? Mostly for our benefit. And the two shall be one flesh. The great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church. Wait a second, I wasn't tracking. He's talking about husbands and wives. Now he's talking about Christ and the church. Yeah, he was talking about Christ and the church all through this. Look, in this little vignette that God has called us to play out, the husband has the Christ part. We're acting as Christ in the marriage. Jesus has a bride. It's called the church. Wives, This is going to be easy for you. Your part in this little drama that we're playing out is the part of the wife. You're a wife anyway. This is easy, right? It's not very difficult for you to play that part out. And what does the wife do? Well, when we're talking about the bride of Christ, we obey Christ. We do what Christ says. He loves us. He gave himself for us. Is there redemption, women, in that? Yes. Yes. You're going to get saved by being married and submitting to your husband? No, it's going to save your marriage. It's going to show the world, there's redemption in this. It's going to show the world what godly marriage is supposed to look like. It's going to show the world that, hey, there's a Savior who's taken a bride. Let me show you what it looks like. And then we demonstrate it in our lives. Now, what do we have? We have this crazy tug of war. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're doing. I'll take over the reins. No, you won't. I'm supposed to be the head of the house. Well, that's because you're just... And what is that showing? And then... I can't live with it anymore. You're always. I'm getting divorced. Now, what is that showing? Hey, I got a great idea. Just an idea. I mean, if you want it or not. Just do what Christ wants us to do. Don't. If you're really not on board with what your husband's decisions are, pray. Don't try to modify his behavior. It won't work. Listen, I don't even want to go here, but I'm gonna. Fools rush in, right, where angels fear to tread? I know what I'll do. I'll withhold sex. That's a very bad idea. Don't try to... And I'm telling you, he's not like you at all. He's not like you at all. He's not like you. He can be upset, be intimate with you, and then still be upset. I'm not saying it's a good thing. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, okay? Get those things straightened out and get them straightened out in a hurry. But he's not like you on that. Well, I don't feel like it, so I'm not. That's, ladies, look down. See everything below your chin where your eyes can see? It all belongs to your husband, all of it. Guys, same thing for your wives. We don't try to modify behavior by punishing or rewarding. That is such a... That is so... Listen, before I was going to church here and since, I've done a lot of marriage counseling. I'm not talking to maybe you or you or you or you or you, but I know couples do that. That is... Do you have any idea what that does to your husband? That's great badness. You got to repent from that in a hurry. Well, I don't. He's got to romance me. He's got to win me. He's got to. We'll talk to him. We'll talk to him. Bring him back next week. We'll deal with that. But in the interim, wives, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the husband's room this week and say, "Okay, I really, really want to do it." You say, "I've really been on board. I'm really, really trying to do this." Where have I fallen down? What have I? And let him say what he's going to say. What are you going to do? You're going to listen. And you're not going to gainsay him. You're not going to, well, yeah, but that's because... Stop. He will love the respect that you pay him, and he will love to have an opportunity to say, listen, we're going somewhere. Guys, you get the same deal is going to be next week, okay? You're gonna after next Sunday, after, okay? After we have your wife, you say, we have been falling down in the love department, show me. And then you're going to button up, and let her have her say. Listen, wives, submit doesn't mean you don't have a mind. It doesn't mean you can't contribute. It doesn't mean what you're saying is important. It doesn't mean you're a punching bag. I should have started there. Submit doesn't mean, look, we have laws against abuse. They're good laws. I wouldn't change them. If your husband is beating you up, you have to involve the police, and I would like to be involved as well. If your husband is saying he's trying to lead you in ungodly pursuits like pornography or something like that, we have verses. It's not just you not liking what he's saying. It's we have Bible verses that say, wrong. You should involve me in that. You're saying, really? Yes, that wouldn't be disrespectful. That would be amazingly helpful. Trust me. And I will have a heart-to-heart with your husband. And if he's just trying to do the right thing and trying to lead you and try to guide you, What can you do better than just say, I understand, Lord, you're trying to show me, you're trying to guide me, you're trying to, and I know your husband. I know a lot of your husbands, I know them. They're good guys. I mean, they really are. All things being equal, they want to bless you, right? They're not trying to be at odds with you. You just don't know better all the time. And even if you do, God wants to work through an imperfect husband to get you where you want to be, both of you together. We're at the end of this whole thing, right? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He did predestinate to become like the image of his son. We're headed to a place. We're going to be the image of Jesus Christ. Am I going to get there without her? Hardly. Am I going to get there through this crazy tug of war? Listen, two cats in the same sack, watch the fur fly, right? That's us, and we're going to just be fighting all the way into glory. No. No. I can't do it without her. God's called her to be alongside me, help me do this. Ladies, can you get there without your husband? Even your godless husband? No. And the two shall be one flesh. We'll talk about it again next week. Let's stand, let's pray. Now listen, you want to argue with me about this? I'll try to be patient and listen, act like a gentleman, but you're not going to tell me why in this, unless you have like sin, you're not going to tell me why you can't. I'm a college graduate, my husband's a moron. Just one, disrespectful. He won't like you saying it. Two, ladies, at some point, give this up. If that big dumb ape I sleep with would just do everything I said, my life would be perfect. It would be a nightmare. And big dumb ape is disrespectful. Respect, the key word, the watchword. We learned something today. Our husbands need respect. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that nobody will take this in the wrong spirit. I'm trying to be really, really helpful. And I love these ladies here. I don't have a skin in the game in the sense that if they respect their husbands, then my life will go better. But I know that the church is made up of individual marriages and individual families. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless our marriages, because there are those who would destroy it. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm going to talk to men next week about manning up and standing against Satan and not letting him getting a foothold in our marriages. And Lord, so I pray you'd bless this. I know it's gone by quick, just a few thoughts and stuff, but you can speak so much more into our hearts than all the things that we've visited. And I pray that you would. You'd bless this time in your word, that we might grow thereby. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.